studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, thankful again to bring this broadcast to you this week. As we go back to the book of Romans, the past few weeks we've diverted a bit and looked at the Psalms and then some passages on the birth of Christ. Before that, we had looked at Romans chapter 3, and now we're picking up again this week in Romans chapter 3 at verse 27 through 31. And let me just say, the book of Romans is a wonderful book to understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the clearest presentation, I would say. If I were stranded on an island and had one book to pick in the Bible, what would be my favorite? It would be the book of Romans, because here we have so beautifully expound for us the major doctrines of guilt, grace, and gratitude. Our sin and our misery, how much Christ has done for us in giving us His grace to save us as Christians, and then how to live. I mean, people want to know how to live now. Well, Romans chapter 12 and following teaches us that. So this book really encompasses all of the Christian life and gives us every major doctrine of the Christian faith that we might grow in grace and in knowledge. Let me begin today by saying, if there was the single greatest sin in the Bible that God hates the most, if you thought about what would that be, what would be your answer? Well, the single greatest sin we could say that has ushered down His awful judgment. Well, if you looked at the book of Genesis and you've worked through Genesis ever, everyone would have to agree that the single sin that is outlined there that just took the whole human race down in a spiral to the bottom is the sin of pride. From Adam taking the fruit with the goal of becoming like God as Satan tempted him, to the Tower of Babel, remember, let us raise our city to the heavens above the throne of God, to Nebuchadnezzar, remember, who said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? And then God came down to strike for the littlest of sins, but when pride came to the forefront, the worst kind of judgments often followed. From Lamech and the flood on the mighty men of renown to prideful Pharaoh, of which 10 horrendous plagues fell, even taking his firstborn. Who can forget King Herod in Acts chapter 12? So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. And then all of the warnings in the Bible about this destructive sin of pride. Think of Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. What ranks up as number one? A proud look. Now, this is not in us, is it, as Christians? If you're a Christian today listening to this broadcast, well, there are so many verses to expose this. Let me just say, if the Lord could say something like Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. They join forces. None will go unpunished. If pride bothers him that much, and he could say something like that, we have to ask today as we open Romans, what is the one area that we will be most prone to in our lives of pride, toward pride? I mean, that's a fair question. What is it? Let me approach it this way. If God would reveal a way of salvation to fallen creatures that would set on display the great riches of His grace and secure for Him the most glory, what would that way of salvation be? Well, everyone would agree. All of the credit and all of the glory for salvation would have to go to Him alone. If we had just a little part in that, well, then there would be some reason for us to boast, right? Boast in His presence. Lord, look what we did. So then to think that I do anything to please God in my salvation is a lingering form of pride. Now that's not so hard to confess, is it? You might be surprised as to what is actually in your heart. Even though I'm sure all of us here in hearing the radio broadcast today confess that salvation is by grace through faith alone, that's a standard doctrine of the Christian faith, what does it really mean to believe it, right? Paul wants us to grasp the implications of this. You would think that such a message of justification by faith alone would be the greatest news to our ears. But sadly, I've not seen an excitement over it, at least today in the Christian world, that should be here. I wonder why that is. Why would there not be excitement when we hear the message of justification by grace through faith alone? Well, as I work through this text this week, and as I work through it in the previous weeks, it has become very clear to me why we aren't as excited as we should be. It is still because pride lingers in our hearts like an infectious plague. And today the Lord is calling us to repent of pride and to see afresh, and that's what the gospel always does for us. It brings the fresh perspective of what the true meaning is of how we are saved by grace through faith alone. We begin today in verse 20 of Romans chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." This is such an important verse. He's just concluded the heart of the whole book, how a sinner is right with God. And here Paul has presented to us God's courtroom of justice, if you will. And it is in this courtroom that Christ stands up and he takes the penalty of eternal death, judgment of body and soul upon him. And instead of the guilty charge falling upon us, the righteous judge reckons to our account his son's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, his perfect record. He accounts, he reckons, he considers to our account Christ's absolutely beautiful and perfect record. And the real mystery of the whole thing is that God just didn't lessen his standard. He didn't just say, well, they have really tried their best and they demonstrate some goodness before me. Therefore, on that basis, I will give them grace. His standard remained. One must have perfect and complete obedience and righteousness to appear before him in glory. And so, without lessening his standard, instead of us as Christians, he poured out in full wrath his justice on Jesus, who was and is eternal God. And that's the real mystery. And how was that received? There was nothing in the picture when he accepted you. Only filthy garments, only a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. And yet he accepted Christ's life in our place. And what was the way it was received? By faith alone. It was only in coming to the feet of Christ, like that man who beat his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That was the man who went down to his house justified instead of the one who stood up at the front of the church and said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this and this and this." Now, if that's the case, that salvation is purely by grace through faith, Paul asks the question today, where is boasting? It is excluded, he says. So Paul is saying, look, if salvation is by grace through faith alone, no one can boast in his presence, in God's presence. All of salvation, every last bit of it, is a free gift. Nothing at all you do or can do will produce something that will be the basis for God's acceptance of you. There never was in the first place. And it's at this point that Paul sets before us again two ways of righteousness, at least two possible ways in the whole scheme of things. Why is boasting excluded? He asks. Why couldn't someone stand up and say, "Lord, I did this. I made the choice. I did this to come and to be saved. And so now you must receive me." Or better, he says this, on what law is boasting excluded? Works or faith? That is such an important question. Paul says there are only two possible ways in which one can be saved. Either salvation is by works or it is by faith alone. Now, it can't be both. Paul is saying this here. It's either one or the other, if all boasting is excluded. On what law would boasting be excluded? Works or faith? It can't be both. In fact, later he will say, if by grace, salvation is by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So, if your salvation were by any works, just one, well, then you would have some reason to boast. And so he condemns very sharply any notion that we are saved by the goodness or anything that we do. And so what is the other alternative then? Well, the other way of righteousness then is to receive this blessed Savior Jesus Christ, to receive his benefits and blessings by faith alone, which is a gift of God. That is the only way a sinner is saved, and that's what Paul's going to unpack for us throughout this book of Romans, this glorious gospel, that the whole thing is in the hands of God, and that when he looks upon us, he doesn't see anything in us, he looks upon his beloved Son, and there the acceptance lies, so that my life is hidden in him, that his righteousness has been imputed to my account, so that when he looks at me, he sees the very righteousness of his Son. My friends, that is the gospel. That is what we are excited about to proclaim. Claim to this lost world that Christ Jesus is the only way. His life and death and resurrection is the only thing that God accepts. And then I can know in full assurance that I have this righteousness by faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, it's our conviction at the Linden United Reformed Church that we need a recovery and love for these doctrines of grace that have been so neglected and put on the shelf as dusty doctrines that people think don't apply to our lives. We say, in total contrariness to all that thinking, that these doctrines are our life. They are the motivation for joy and walking in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to join us to hear this wonderful gospel at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.